It is that time of the week where John McGrath, Troy Malcolm, Tom Panos come online and jibber. What's the word you use, John? Jibber jabber.
Yeah, jibber jabber. But that must be the most subdued welcome to the NBA podcast, Tom, in 200. How many episodes, Troy?
240
something now.
Yep.
I'm quite chilled and relaxed now. Normally you come on board and you're like the ringmaster and you're
it's a meditation.
And yet today was very chilled out, so I like this. This is new stuff. No, we've got some good topics to talk about today. I think, you know, COVID in many parts of our listeners, you know, probably not so much the UK, unfortunately, guys, or America, but Australia, New Zealand is in much better shape than it's ever been. But there's still some questions out there, Tommy, that you and I and Troy were talking about offline before, and I think it's a good one to address them. Not that any of us have crystal balls, but we'll have an opinion. So I think it's an interesting one.
Yeah, so I think the title of this is because we want a lot of people to click on the podcast, let's do what media companies do, and that is sell misery. The September cliff, Troy, that's your hero shot. That'll get the people downloading that, you know?
It's clickbait.
I've got to say to you, in my time at News Corp, I'll never forget the exercise that News Corp did in the Northern Territory, where they actually started putting in positive articles to work with the community there. But it's quite bizarre. Readership went down. There appears to be this tendency of humans like that want to find things that are dramatic and catastrophic, you know. But John and Troy, in real estate, there is chatter about September. What happens in September? Is there a cliff in September? JobKeeper might be redefined or repurposed or even eliminated, you know? There's talking about banks that have had mortgage holidays for people. They're going to say it's time to start paying your mortgage again. All these factors, they affect buyers who are thinking, hey, do we hold off? They affect vendors, and we've seen a rush of some vendors come to the market earlier than that they would have liked to because they're factoring in, oh, maybe things will be worse. And real estate agents, which is our audience, which is the one that we want to talk about, is it's affecting them. They're thinking, have we got big headwinds coming? John and Troy, what's your view on it?
So I think I'll start, Troy, if I can. I think number one is Matt Steinway said on one of our webinars early on, Troy, you know, you've actually just got to move forward and pretend, and probably not a great word, but as though nothing's happening. Because right now what we do know in most markets that we represent and many markets of Australia and New Zealand, it's actually quite good, surprisingly quite good. I was just talking to a vendor 5 minutes ago on the phone before I joined this webinar, and she's in New Zealand, but she's got a property in Sydney, and I just said, look, I thought when COVID hit, we could have been 80, 90% down. I said, well, we weren't. We were 35% down, and it feels right now as though I called an auction on the weekend, Tommy, and there was a dozen registered bidders, and I'm sure you and Troy had the same elsewhere. Not at every auction, but there's definitely people out there. So for my conversations with sellers would go like this. Tom, right now we know property like yours, which is a good location, you know, if we price it right, there's going to be strong demand. Let's try and go forward. None of us got a crystal ball, but what does that mean? I think the chance of the market bumping up, so a better result if you wait, is highly unlikely, almost zero chance. I think the chance in the last half or even the last quarter of this calendar year is the period you're talking about, Tom, from September onwards. I think there's a genuine chance it could come back a little bit. I don't subscribe to the Armageddon theory. I think that as banks and governments perhaps pull back a little bit on some of their support strings that they've got out there, that'll be replaced by the fact that there'll be some genuine work, more work as borders open up, as hospitality and travel opens up, you know. So the governments have done a brilliant job and they're incredibly smart. They're not going to pull the rug out and say, well, we helped you for 3 months, now it's up to you. They are going to gradually, they'll monitor the situation. They have a vested interest in maintaining both New Zealand and Australian governments in maintaining an economy which will gradually improve. So I think that whilst there might be a couple of withdrawals of some of the support areas, I think there's also going to be a natural improvement. Interesting thing is going to be the global impact of the election, which I think is November for America, as to how that plays out, because in a lot of ways that will be probably a greater impact than some other things to the whole global economy, as to whether Trump gets back in and if Biden gets in, how the Wall Street sees him handling the economy. I mean, I heard Trump the other day on a rally, which was absurd to even be hearing someone at a rally when they're in the middle of, you know, the absolutely in the epicenter of COVID. And he said, and I know he tends towards hyperbole, but it's interesting. He said he thinks next year, which will be what, 21, is going to be the greatest year in America's economic history. Now, of course, he has many a reason to say that. But I do think America's economy pre-COVID was in a very strong position of ongoing strength, stability, and momentum. COVID's come in, you know, and then all of a sudden everything's now at risk and on the table. But I think you can only say right now it's kind of pretty good for selling. If a buyer says to you, well, I'm not going to buy right now because I think things might fall off the cliff in September, my approach would be this, and I said it to Troy and the team the other day on our webinar. Firstly, let's work with the buyers that actually do want to buy now and are not pulling back. So there are a lot of buyers out there that don't have an Armageddon theory, and maybe they're the ones you need to focus on. Number two is you've got to watch what people are doing, not what they're saying. If they're coming to open for inspections and auctions and ringing up inquiring on property, whilst they might give you the Armageddon theory, the reality is they're on the market looking to buy today. Unless they say, look, we're just researching, we're not going to buy for 6 months, which is fine. But most people that are in that category are looking to buy today. So my view is caring, but not that much in terms of negotiation time. If it's not the right time for you and Sula to buy, we totally respect that. You just let us know when you're ready. But right now, this time at 850, we think in terms of pricing is in line with what's been selling in the last 6 weeks, which is the COVID kind of market, not the pre-COVID market. We think the market's come back 5%. This property would have sold for $9 to $9.50 for sure, you know, before COVID struck. We've readjusted the price with the vendor back to this level at $8.50. If it works for you, good. If not, you know, we'll find you something else at some other time. But I think don't, you know, as an agent, you know, watch what they're doing, not what they're saying. Work with those that are genuinely wanting to buy. Those that are kind of genuinely very hesitant and not wanting to, let them tell you when they're ready. I wouldn't be worried about that. But I don't think any of us know. We've never had COVID before, and hopefully we'll never have it again, touch wood. But it feels to me like you can only deal with the cards you currently have on the table, which is it's not a bad time to be selling right now. In most parts of Australia and New Zealand, it's actually quite a good time. Troy, what have I missed?
No, John, I'll just add in, I'd be really mindful of what performance indicators the buyers are doing. So what are they doing around inspections? How many times have they viewed the property? Are they coming back for a private appointment? You know, have they requested a contract or the formal documentation? Has that been forwarded to their solicitors? Have their solicitors engaged with the owner's solicitor? So all those kind of things, and not just kind of visiting and asking a few questions around price, but actually doing those other actions that would determine buyer interest is at a higher level.
Yeah, I agree. Tom?
I think it's interesting because sometimes we in the real estate industry can sort of get connected to, hey, if the market's good, it's going to be good for the agent. If the market is bad, it's going to be bad for the agent. But look, we've all been in real estate at some point in our lives to know that nearly all transactions in real estate are lifestyle driven. They're driven about people that want to downsize or move to a new area or have a bigger home, or that there's been a death or there's been a separation. Very few people say, hey, John, I want to sell my house because the market's hot and I want to make money. Most people sell real estate for all these other reasons. So a real estate agent still actually facilitates, and there have been instances where properties have been negative pricing, but real estate agents have had their best years ever because they've been putting deals together. So I think it's important that our audience, who are real estate agents, understand that your relevance doesn't change. Probably what you do changes, because I think, you know, you probably have to be a highly capable person to sit there to a vendor and explain, hey, guess what? Yes, we're getting 10% less. It's not a boom. but you're buying 10% less. Some people have got the ability to do that better than others. And just the way that you elaborated, John, there on the buyer, to a buyer, hey, I'm letting you know you're buying a home for 10 years. You're not buying a home because you're buying a realestate.com share for the next 6 months to try and see whether you can make money. They're the factors that require a bit of skill set for our audience, I suppose.
Yeah, it's funny, Tom. I just jotted down as you were saying that. I agree with everything you've said. Beware headlines. Beware of headlines and statistics. So the average agent in Australia, and I know the people that generally listen to us and members of your gym, Tom, are obviously above average, but let's say the average agent in Australia would be probably selling 1.5 to 2 properties a month, 15 to 20 properties a year. Reality is, for you to double your business, you've just got to find another 1 or 2 properties, buyers and sellers a month, and you've doubled your business. So whether the economy says, you know, the market could be down 32% and stocks down 35%, I look at it and I think, really, it's irrelevant to you as an individual. All you have to do to grow your business and even double your business is find 1 extra seller a month, or maybe 2, and 1 extra buyer or 2 a month to buy those properties, and you've doubled it. So I think it's very easy to get caught up in the white noise and the hype and the hysteria, even in some instances. Josh Teslin and Tom, you guys did a brilliant series last week, and I've told a number of people that weren't members of your gym, you should join it just to actually get access to that video series where you interviewed Josh Teslin and unpacked his success. And I was fortunate that same week to have lunch with him and talk about things. He'll do nudge 200 sales this calendar year, inclusive of COVID. He'll probably do 190 to 200 sales. I'm going to tell you, Josh is not focused on whether is now a better time than September and how bad's COVID and what statistics and what CRM is he using. The guy is going out there with passion and energy. He's got a strategy. He's got a prospecting strategy. He's got a selling strategy. He's got a sense of urgency that I don't see many other places in the industry. He's got a confidence that I rarely have seen elsewhere. And the guy's going out there selling 20 properties a month, average $862,000. So again, it's easy to overthink this stuff. And, you know, should I try and advise a vendor which month? None of us know what is the best month going to be, but we know right now what it is. And if you have a reason to sell, we can help you. We can price it. If you want to have a discussion about the last quarter of this year or next year, feel free to do it as well. But we need to know that none of us know. Could the market drop 10 or 15%? Yes. Could it go up 5%? Possible, but probably unlikely. So I think you've just got to deal with, again, with the cards that are dealt. And I just look at the Josh Teslin, and seriously, this is not a plug for your gym, Tommy, although it probably is and it should be. Anyone that's not a member, just go and join for that, because that is a great series. And you could quadruple your business just by watching that, taking notes, and then doing what Josh Teslin is doing, because, you know, the three of us are fortunate to know him.
You know what's really bizarre about Josh is he fits so much through the day, but yet I know if I ring him or text him, I've got him within minutes. And then sometimes you get onto someone and they're not as busy, like their real estate productivity would show they're not as busy. And then you'll get a phone call, you know, 2 or 3 days later, sorry, Tommy, I've been caught up, you know. And I just think that some people have got this habit where they're constantly just getting stuff done. On the day, John, that you had lunch with him, he actually did work with me. He did a thing for Matt Lancashire. He actually done 4 listing presentations, and he also had him an assistant meeting buyers, right? That's the same day that another person would have woken up, gone to the office, had a bit of a chit chat with people, the receptionist, how you going, had a, you know, sat down, made a few calls, went and got a coffee, came back, lunchtime. You know what? I better not ring people. It's lunchtime. I'll call them tomorrow. Maybe do one appointment in the afternoon, 4:30. Well, yeah, a bit cold. Let's head off home. And I mean, it's a bit funny, because I think, John, the reason you half laughed is something's funny when it's sort of half true, because we know that does happen in the world, you know, of real estate.
He's just like, his energy just wraps you up into it. I think that if the industry could get a peek at that, and they can through your real estate gym, and they should, It's just you get to see. That's why I love interaction with great people, and you get to see how their mind thinks, how they work, what their dialogue is, what their energy is like, how you feel when you're around them. And I felt that little lunch that I had with Josh and Alex, his assistant. I wanted to buy and sell a property in his area just to experience it, because I was wrapped up in the energy. You know, it's that good. So, again, back to our topic today. Yes, it's possible that post government and bank shifts, there could be, you know, a little bit more stock. Maybe there's a few less buyers. It could come back a few percent. But again, I guarantee you, Josh Teslin ain't worried about that today. He's going into lounge rooms, and the first thing he says, which I'm, you know, sure you know, Tommy, is, you know, have you definitely made the decision, Tom and Sula, to sell today?
Yes.
Have you made the decision? And they say, yep. He said, great. Well, let's talk about price. And he gets straight to it. And his current days on market is 11. And he'll say, you know, Tom and Sula, here's a reality that if you list with me, probability is 11 days average says you'll sell. And then 6 weeks later, are you ready to move in the next 7 or 8 weeks? If everything worked well, yeah, I guess we can. Okay, well, that would mean we need to be open Saturday week for inspection. So I'd have to get it photographed on this Thursday. I mean, can you have the home ready this Thursday? And then within minutes, they're sitting down with a calendar and they're ready to list with Josh. And he's not worried too much about what's going to happen in 2021. He's not even worried about the American election. He's present with them. And he does it. And I agree with you, Tom. You know, like you get a text back from him almost instantaneously, and yet he's selling more properties than anyone else, not just in Australia, but probably beyond. I've never heard of another agent with one assistant. I've heard of other agents with 12 assistants selling 20 or more a month. I've never heard of anyone with one assistant selling 20 properties a month. So he really is a phenomenon. So, I just take a leaf out of his book, Troy.
Yeah, and I was going to say, the funny thing is that when you think of people like Josh Teslin, and you think of people like Lisa Novak, and you think of people like Peter Chauncey, and you think of some of the others that we featured on the Legends of Real Estate, the two words that always come to mind for me are attitude and activity. You know, they've got a 10 out of 10 attitude, and that reflects in their energy and enthusiasm and the want it can do attitude. And then the activities are always 10 out of 10. They're never on a dull moment. They're never being quiet. They're always got something going on. And I think for everyone listening to this, that's really two big lessons that you have total control over that you can change instantly with the right attitude and the right activity.
Yeah,
I want to finish off on, I'm going to get you off guard with a quick question. I had two people in a 24-hour period that are listeners of our podcast. One's a very successful owner of multiple offices, and one's a very successful agent. So they are people that have got the runs on the board. They both said to me in 24 hours, Tom, I'm tired. Right? I'm tired. And I said, you know, like what? He says, I don't know. Like we got into it, you know, there's not going to be a break that we normally have in the winter. There's more issues that we're facing. One of them said, I've had the rent roll that I've had to put a lot of energy. What do you say to the girl or guy right now who has got that thought, I'm tired? Like, you know, if they're sitting here listening to this podcast, I'm tired, and they're not having a break. They're not going to have a break now for whatever, you know, you can't travel in a lot of places regardless. So that's not an option. What do you say, John and Troy?
I think, look, if you're genuinely fatigued, Tommy, you can have a day or two off, and you can go nearby. You can, if you're in Sydney, you can go to the Central Coast. You can go to, there are options for you to have a quick refresh. So I think that's possible. I'd look at, again, you mentioned Lisa and Josh as great benchmarks, and Pete Chauncey, Troy. I don't see them tired because they're on purpose. They have a plan. They have so much activity happening. The people that are retired are the ones that have no listings, one listing, no inquiry. It's overpriced. They're not doing deals, and they're probably, it's almost depression as opposed to fatigue in some instances. I'm not saying the ones that you referred to, Tommy, but for a lot of people, because I hear the same thing. So I would say if you genuinely need a little break of a day or three, do it. You don't need a month, but sometimes a day or three, and go to the Blue Mountains, get some fresh air or whatever you want to do. While you're there, maybe, or even if you don't go, build a little plan. And we know Josh's plan. If they watch your real estate gym, you'll see in 5 sessions, Josh's plan. It's very, very simple as to how he prospects and lists. Activity creates energy. And if you're sitting there with 12 auctions running at the moment, you're probably, to be quite frank, not tired, you're energized. So I think it's more likely that you're tired from not doing things than from doing too much. And also the overthinking bit. Don't overthink it. Like, really, there are buyers out there, there are sellers out there. Find some of each, bring them together, do a deal, put a sold sign up, pop it on social media, move on to the next one, celebrate. Troy?
Habits, John and Tom. If you're fatigued and tired, there's something wrong with the habit that you've got. I'm a really strong believer in morning rituals and ideal weeks and controlling energy. And I think if you're out of whack somewhere, you can kind of scale it back to that. Is it that you're getting distracted because you're not focused on the key activity you need to do at that particular time in the day? And then, John, I agree. Maybe 1 or 2 days out, realign why you're actually doing what you're doing. Sometimes the goals change. A lot of people are going through a lot of change right now as well. Emotionally, they're making decisions on lifestyle and stuff like that, and that's okay. That can be an emotional draining point in your life, so you can take time out and redefine what you actually want to achieve over the next 3, 6, 12 months.
I tell you what I found extremely useful. I was talking to Marty Fox, and Marty goes to me, "When you're in Melbourne, mate, you're going to come out and have dinner with me, and you're going to jump in my spa, and we're going to sit there in the spa in the hot tub, and we're going to have a chat." Anyway, what happens is I'm having a coffee, and someone said to me, "I'm going off to the Balmain Wellness or Nature Energy or somewhere," and they said, "I'm getting a hot tub, a steam room, and a massage. I do that every 2 weeks." And I said, "Oh wow!" I said, "I was talking to someone that was talking about their spa." So I did it. I went to Balmain. I had a massage. You go into it's private. You go into a hot tub. You get an hour there, in and out of the steam room, the cold water if you like. So you go from hot to cold. And you know what? 2 hours, you come back. I don't know, maybe you're sort of meditating while you're doing it. Sometimes an interruption to a routine that has become monotonous can actually make a hell of a difference. And you slept well that night, and then you wake up and like things reset type button, you know?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think that was a better choice than getting into Marty's. I did see him talk about that on... He did a social media thing, and I sent it to someone. I said, "Oh, there's some really great dialogue in this," and then they sent back to me 5 minutes later. They said, "What about the hot tub?" I said, "Hot tub." the first half of the thing, not the second half.
All righty.
But by the way, just before we go, Chauncey, Novak, Fox, Tesselin, they all have a lot in common. They have great energy. They have great confidence. They put in a lot of effort. They have great work ethic. And their mindset is impenetrable. So, guys, success leaves clues. Have a look at what the top performers are doing and go and do it.
And Lisa's another one. Gets back to you straight away. Nice person, cares. Sends you a message. How's things? You're thinking, "Oh, what does she want?" Nothing. How's things? Is that what she's doing? Good sort of stuff, which is rare often. A lot of the times it's, "Hi, John, hope you're well." Then it's, "Hey.
Yeah, by the way.
Call me out." All right. Guys and girls, we'll see you next week. MDA podcast. Winners are grinners. Tigers are winning. The rabbits are winning. The roosters are winning. Everyone's in a good mood. We'll see you next week.
Bye.